This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
Chad Daybell, is he paddling upstream now without a paddle? That kind of appears to be what may be about to happen. Of course, he'll probably get, you know, some new attorneys in there. But John Pryor, the one who's, you know, been with him, been the paddle for the last almost 3 years, saying, I'm out, or at least can I be out, please? Can you take me out? Because I want to be out. I seriously want to be out. There's a lot of questions here with this. I get it. I don't understand why anyone would have signed up to represent Chad Daybell to begin with. Doesn't seem like a very winnable case or a place you really want to be on the representation side, even for the publicity. But here we are, 3 months before the trial is supposed to start, and he's saying, I'm not death penalty qualified. You already knew this. And I'm not getting paid anymore either. So I get both arguments, but why now? Why 3 months before the trial are we making this realization and going to the judge saying, can I please be recused from this? Joining me to discuss, Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent. I don't know. What do you think? Weird decisions, weird timing. Although, am I missing it? Is there some strategy to this?
I don't think there's a strategy. Again, I love giving you my first impressions. Chad screwed.
Yeah.
He's just.
And on that note, we'll talk about another case next.
It's not a laughing matter, but oh my gosh. I remember a couple episodes ago, we're talking about, you know, what's up next for after Lori Daybell, you know, what defense will he take, you know, like blame her, yeah. You know, I was duped by her, you know, she's the charismatic one. And I really thought he might have a shot at avoiding death, or who knows how it'll go. But, you know, he's got some leverage if he throws the crazy woman under the bus, right?
Yeah.
But when your attorney that's been with you for 3 years says, nope, I'm done, where do you go? And not just that, but he was trying to get someone to join his team and couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it begs the question, why? There's a lot of defense attorneys out there that could really cut their chops on this one, make a name for themselves. It's a high profile case, even in sort of it's a lot of work. So you can imagine people don't want to do pro bono, but I'm just shocked. It's just a little shocking.
Is it winnable though? I mean, that's the thing. I mean, if you're going to do this thing pro bono, you're going to go in there, you're going to fight this. Yeah. You'll get some national attention. Your name will be in lights for a couple of weeks. But at the end of the day, is that the marquee you want your name on? It'd be like, I mean, if you succeed and you get him off, yeah, you hit the jackpot. You did an amazing job as a defense attorney. But that's the thing. I think every defense attorney with any sort of sense, including brand new ones, are like, yeah. And I'm wondering, you know, is that why John Pryor is finally walking away? Did he think he had some angles here and some ins? And then as time went on, it was clearer and clearer that he's dealing with the devil?
Yeah, I most likely not the thought of dealing with the devil. I think defense attorneys have to remain very pragmatic. And again, I'm not one. We just look at them all mm-hmm. the time on the show. But they have to remain pragmatic in order to do their job, because they defend some pretty important people. But I think potentially in this case, again, my conjecture hat is on, you know, if you're dealing with Chad Daybell, we were hypothesizing a strategy was throw the crazy woman under the bus
mm-hmm.
as a great defense. I mean, who wouldn't want to do that?
Yeah.
And for him to walk out at this point, maybe all of a sudden Chad decided, I'm not going to throw the crazy woman under the bus. And he's like, well, I got nothing.
I'm wondering if it's something along those lines.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I mean, when we saw Lori's trial, the defense didn't raise much of any argument because they weren't allowed to. Because at the end of the day, they have to do what their client wants. They could have. They should have been the first to throw Chad under the bus. That should have been the strategy. Lori didn't want to do that, so they couldn't do that. So you do have to wonder if at the end of the day here, maybe that's happening again, of Chad is saying, no, we're not going to take that strategy. But, I mean, there has been statements made already. I mean, he did already at one point make the statement that, no, Lori is the one who influenced us. And I was, the word brainwashed wasn't used, but something of that nature was. And so the statement's been made. I'm just wondering, okay, since that's happened, we haven't seen more of those statements being made. That kind of came to a full stop. Yeah. Did John and Elena rekindle their love from John and Elena being the letter people, their fake characters in their love texts? I don't know.
I'm with you on that one too, you know, on our hypothesis conjecture hat, because you're right. I mean, if you're trying to, I mean, just look what the attorney for Koberger's doing.
Yeah.
She keeps leaking out all these things and all these hypotheses out there for the general public's consumption and for social media's consumption to try to sway doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not seeing that in this case.
Yeah.
And you'd think that if you had an angle, and I apologize for using such a crass word, but throw the crazy woman under the bus,
yeah,
you would see more of that coming out. Like you said, he's made the statements, but they seemingly backed off. And it's like, yeah, there's something going on, and I'm wondering what that is.
Yeah, maybe it seemed like that, where they're starting to kind of paint that strategy picture, and then silence, and now attorney's out. Does make you wonder what's going on. It'll be exciting someday to make the FOIA request for the phone calls once these aren't active.
Yeah, that's what I'm curious about too.
Active cases, because that would be interesting. Can inmates contact inmates via phone? Can you call to another inmate? That's an interesting question.
Yeah, it is a great question. I would think
you could write. Maybe. I'm sure maybe they're writing each other like love letters and poems and.
Yeah, I think it might give some leakage as to, I think after we watched Lori on trial and saw her brain on display and her thought process, we were thinking that maybe Chad was the semi-sane one,
yeah,
or saner one. I think we might have overestimated that.
Just a little.
I think it's all crazy. These are just horrible people that did horrible things to their children.
Sick of the ads?
We opt too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.